technology is supposed to make things quicker, right? It's supposed to be easier. And all you see is a blue circle going around and around and around. Drive you nuts. But anyways, that's technology. And we had technical difficulties today. And that's just the way it goes. But we can still function even though we have technical difficulties, right? I'm pretty sure we can still hear the word. We can still sing, right? Even if the words aren't right. So we can figure that out, right? Okay. Crazy week, always, right? It just seems like things are getting crazier and crazier. And remember last week I talked, it was like a preparation for today's message. God had restructured that message. He, again, restructured this message, like he always does. And, we're just going to go with it. And you're not going to hear the end of this topic. This next year, God really told me there's specific things he wants me to bring forth today. But there's a lot more to this topic, which is fear. And we're going to be hearing a lot of that, I think, over the next year if my intuition is right from God. And I think it's all preparation. It's all preparation. It's preparation for us to be in a good place because the world is probably not going to be in a good place. But we want to be in a good place, right? So, and that's what God's doing is he's preparing us. So, when we were praying at the beginning of, Chuck was praying at the beginning of the service, he brought up the fear of God. And Melinda chose a couple of psalms and they had to deal with the fear of God. And, you know, it's just amazing when these type of things happen, you know, it really is. The more I prayed about this message, the more God restructured it. And we're going to talk about three types of fear. Carla, can you bring my water? Thank you.
You're afraid of water.
Yeah, I'm very afraid of water. I could tell a story about that, but I won't. All right, three types of fear. One is normal. That's your protective fear. And this is a normal fear that God put into us to protect us, right? And then the other one I call Satan's fear. And this is worldly controlling fear. And many scriptures talk about this in the Bible, right? How there like fear becomes like controlling in your life. And then the third one is fear of the Lord. And we're going to spend most of our time talking about that. But we're going to go through the others a little bit too. So let me start by saying fear is a good thing. It's a good thing. We tend to focus on overcoming fear. And there are fears that we have to overcome. But overall, fear was put in us by God. And it was really there to protect us. He gave us this emotion to help protect us. If you're driving and you see something in the road, fear attacks you and you push the brake, right? So that's there to protect you, right? It's a mechanism that God gave us to protect us. When we're born again, the Holy Spirit is embedded in us, and it increases our sense of fear. The Holy Spirit can give you a new sense of fear. And you don't realize this, right? So I always think of it as like when I was praying about this, it was an antenna on a car. You remember the old antennas on a car? They used to slide down, right? And then you'd pull them out. And all the young kids are going, really? That's what happened? Yeah, that's what happened. You used to, if you wanted better reception, you would pull up the antenna, right? And it'd go like that. And if it got stuck, you'd have to, you know, pull on it harder. And you'd be like, come on, just pull. But anyways, that's what happens when the Holy Spirit is in you. Your antenna went out, right? And so there's times that God uses fear to protect us. You may go to somebody and have a sense that there's some evil there. Or maybe you shouldn't be somewhere that you're thinking about going. And that's a good thing, right? That's there to protect you. Before the Holy Spirit, I think you're more oblivious to that type of fear, right? You got protective fear. If a bear comes at you, you want to get away, right? But But this is a different type of fear, and God put that in us. And I want you to understand that. When I, whenever I go anywhere, I think it's a good idea to pray before you go. Pray and see what route to go. And listen to the Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes we come back from the Freiburg Fair, it's late at night, and I always pray before I leave in my head, like, which way should I go? Because I know that there's a possibility there could be moose on the road, there could be an accident or something like that. So I want to make sure that even if it's a longer route, that that's the way I'm supposed to go. And that's, sometimes we have to choose the longer route in order to get there, in order to protect us, right?
No. Yeah.
So don't always go the short route, because it might be dangerous, right? And that's the Holy Spirit fear in us, right? Guiding us. And it's a good idea to listen to that. It's a good idea to listen to that. I would recommend it highly. And even though we're talking about fear that's useful, there's fear that can be used to evil, right? So Satan, which is what we were talking about last week, is tools of Satan. And Satan can take things and use it for evil. And it's through our minds.
Right.
Or it can be through somebody else's minds working to cause evil to us. Fear is probably Satan's most impactful tool he uses. I really believe that. I lived it. I know it. It's very impactful. He is a manipulator and uses something that is useful and twists it for evil. He can put thoughts in our head directly to be fearful, or he can use others to put fearful thoughts in our heads to manipulate us. People in power can be influenced by evil forces that affect us directly. And we see this again written through the Bible everywhere, right? You look at the pharaohs and all those people, they really use fear, right? All the old time, I watched old shows, history shows lately, and they all use fear. If you do this, this is going to happen to you. And you got to be careful of that. Be careful of that. Fear can be used to rob us of life, living the life that God intended us to live, right? That's his purpose, is to derail us, right? He wants to take us out. He knows that if you're in this church, you're a believer and you want to be a stronger believer. And he wants to derail you from that. That's his main goal. That's his main goal. And we don't want to let that happen. We don't want to let that happen. This fear is the most utilized tactic, for sure. And he says lies like we are unfit to do something physically or mentally. That's what he tells you, right? He says, you can't do that. What are you thinking? You're too weak. You're too small. Don't do that. You might get hurt. You might get hurt physically or emotionally. Emotionally is a strong tool he attacks. What are people going to think about us? How many people think of that one? What are people going to think? They're going to think I'm crazy.
I don't care.
They're going to think, you know, that I've lost my mind. Maybe Satan's saying we're not smart enough to think for yourself. We need to listen to the people who are so much smarter than us, who know so much more than us. Maybe he's saying, you don't speak well, so shut up and keep quiet. Shut up and keep quiet. You think Moses heard that when he stuttered? How about this one? No one cares what you think. No one cares what you think. Boy, we hear this stuff a lot, don't we? And people say that to us. Not only do we think it ourselves, but people tell us this stuff. And we buy into it. And we buy into it. And it's hogwash. These are thoughts that alter how we live our lives, and in most cases, not live our lives. So not only does it tell us how to live our lives, but it tells us how not to live our lives even more so. When God finally started breaking me out of my anxiety issues, He made me think, I have choices. When I got saved, I was a mess. And when the time came and God said, and I was learning more, and part of that was Malcolm's teachings. I was learning more about God and stuff. And He came to me and I was praying, and He'd be like, you got choices to make. You got choices. You can continue to live in fear and struggle in life, missing out on a lot of joy opportunities. And His plan for you, missing out on that. Or I could step out in faith, and every time Satan said, Reggie, you can't, you shouldn't, take a stand and push back. Step out. Trust me more than yourself. Trust me more than yourself. That's what he was saying to me. It took a long time for me to work through that. But that's what he was saying to me. In the old days, for example, in my head, I always thought something bad would happen. And Carla would say this all the time. Every little ache or pain I had, I thought it was cancer. Every time I went to do something fun, there was a reason not to. Go to a roller coaster, well, it might break. Something bad could happen. I could fly off the coaster and die. That was going through my head. And that was stopping me from doing stuff. You know? There was a real fear there. Now, not to say that couldn't happen. It could happen. But I was missing out. I was missing out on living. I was holding back. I wanted to do it. But I was holding back. I had to make a decision. I was afraid to die. I was very fearful of death. Because I didn't understand death. I didn't understand it. And it created a lot of fear and anxiety in there. But he said to me, would you rather live a full life for a short time or a long life not living? And that's a question for all of us, isn't it?
Yes.
Especially these days, it seems like the medical field is so obsessed with living forever without quality sometimes, right? They can't understand that there's quality in life. And sometimes for us, especially as believers, we're not afraid to die anymore. I'm not afraid to die anymore. And that freed me.
Yes.
That freed me. I made a decision to trust God. If I hadn't done this, there's no way I would be standing here preaching this right now. Preaching the word about fear when fear was ruling my life. Satan gives me plenty of thoughts of why I shouldn't be doing this. That's for sure. Those thoughts roll through there. And to be honest, if this pandemic had been going on before I got saved, learning how God works and our days are numbered and determined already, You guys realize that, right? Your days are numbered, determined already. You're not going to change that date. God's determined that date. He's not going to change it. He's sovereign. He'll do what he wants, no matter what we do. We can take any medication. We can do all kinds of stuff to stay healthy. I know a lot of healthy people that passed away young. And I say, how can that be? Because it's predetermined. Your day is predetermined. Now, how you live and suffer prior to that date, we have influence on. But the day you pass away is predetermined. You can look it up. That's a message for another day. Not only would I be preaching, I probably would not have ever left my house. So not only would I be scared to preach, I probably wouldn't have left my house in a pandemic, honestly. That's how fearful I was. That was my life. That's how fearful. So when you say, like Vicky was saying, look at what Jesus did for me. Look at what Jesus did for me. Right? This is my testimony. And that's what people have to hear. People have to understand where you were and where you are now. And you are not going to be fooled with this type of fear anymore. Right? Now let me be clear. God hasn't taken the fearful thoughts. He has taken some fearful thoughts. The fear of death. He has taken some of those thoughts away from me, but most of the thoughts are still coming into my head. Most of those fearful thoughts. But he's taught me how to battle through those thoughts. Overcome those thoughts. And that's what he wants for you. That's what he wants for you. I was counting some scriptures. And I happen to do a search on overcoming fear. There's more than 365 scriptures of overcoming fear. So that means you could choose a different one every day. Every day. To learn how to counteract fear. Choose a scripture when you're fearful. Look it up. See what the Word says versus what Satan says. That's what we talked about last week, right? Don't listen to Satan. Listen to the Word of God. Here are a couple of examples that we can use. I'm just going to give a couple out of the 365 plus because we don't have time for 365 today. We want to eat at some point, right? Here's an example. And there's a million that we hear a lot of, but search out something that's different. Search out something that's different, right? 2 Timothy 1:7 is my favorite one. That's the one I lived on. But I've heard that a million times, right? How about 1 John 4:18? Such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for the fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. So don't believe the fear. Right? Love has no fear. So if you're going to do something in a loving way, and Satan is saying, don't do that, you say, no, I'm going to do it because love has no fear. Love has no fear. Psalm 56:11. I trust in God, so why should I be afraid? So why should I be afraid? What can mere mortals do to me? What? Right? So when people are saying, what are people going to think about you? What are people going to think about you? Well, who cares? Who cares what people think about you? Who cares what they think, how you dress? Who cares? The person who you should be caring about is God. How does He view you? How does He view you? So we are meant to overcome many fears in our lives. And we're going to be talking about fear a lot. I really get the sense. Like, I'm gonna go off on this someday too, a little bit more, what we just talked about, Satan's fear. There's a lot to it, and we're gonna dig more into that at some point, but not today. There's certain points that really God really is pressing me to get through. So that was one point. But we're supposed to overcome our fears in our life. But there's another type of fear we are meant to embrace. We are meant to embrace. And that is the fear of the Lord. And Scripture shows us that there's great benefit to fearing the Lord. And that's what I'm going to talk about today, is the benefit to fearing the Lord. There's a lot more to this too. There's a lot more avenues that I could have went with this. But God said, listen, people need encouragement right now. This life is pounding people down. Pounding people down. So we need to understand that we need to be lifted up. And God is here to lift us up through the fear of the Lord. How weird is that to say? How weird. And people get scared by that. The church does a great job talking about grace and mercy. And that's awesome. We love to talk about grace and mercy. And it's true. Our God is so graceful. So much more graceful than we deserve, honestly. Like, honestly, right? How many times can we turn our back and do something God is telling us not to do? Or to not do something God is telling us to do? How many times can we do that? And He still hangs in there with us, right? But just because He hangs in there doesn't mean it's pleasing to Him, right? A lot of you are parents. You understand this. Right? And everyone loves those nice messages of mercy and grace, which again is so great. And they're important. But we have to understand that we have a responsibility to discuss uncomfortable things, like fear of the Lord. And I think the church has missed that. We become so out of balance, always talking about grace and mercy, that we've completely forgot about fear of the Lord. And I think you're seeing that reflected in our society. And you're seeing that reflected in the church. The people in the church. It doesn't seem like there's a lot of fear of the Lord. There's a lot more fear of the outside. Unfortunately, I think in our culture, in this country right now, and the pursuit of bringing people to Christ, we've kind of abandoned these type of topics. We're uncomfortable talking about it. But the great book talks about it. And it's important to our lives, and we're going to see that. So what does the fear of God look like? Well, let me tell you another little coincidence that happened. I had this little scripture by Isaiah 6, and Melinda sends me a little message just privately. Listen to this. And it also had Isaiah 6. Are we meant to hear Isaiah 6? Then becomes the question, right? I think Isaiah 6 kind of is probably one of the best ways to understand what fear of the Lord looks like. It was in the year of King Uzziah, in the year he died, that I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of His robe filled the temple. The train of the robe filled the temple. How small is that? That doesn't sound too small. The train of his robe filled a temple. That's like the whole floor in here, and this is a small temple. Right? That means he must be a big person. A big, powerful God that can pull that train. That can carry that train. Attending him were mighty seraphim, each having six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, and two they covered their feet. And with two they flew. They were calling out to each other, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies." So they're calling out to him, right? They're singing to him. Holy, holy, holy. The whole earth is filled with his glory. Their voices shook the temple to its foundation, and the entire building was filled with smoke. Then I said, "It's all over. It's all over. I am doomed. I am a sinful man." That's what he felt. I am doomed. I am done. "Yet I have seen the King and the Lord of heaven's armies." So there's some emphasis on that, right? And then it goes into a little bit more of kind of going the other way. But that's the feeling. I am doomed. That is fear of the Lord. If the Lord were standing right behind you right now, would there be some fear? Yes. And if you say no, then you're missing something. We've messed up. Because there should be some fear. He is a God of mercy. But he's seeing everything we've done. Everything we've done. That makes me shudder. Right? I'm doomed. If it wasn't for the grace of God given Jesus, right? I am doomed. But just because I'm going to heaven doesn't take that strength away from God. That impactful feeling away from what I should be thinking about and considering, right? That's true understanding of the fear of the Lord. Understanding that the power the Lord has over our lives, He determines all. He determines all. He has the final say. He has the final say. I'll tell you about my grandmother just passed away, and she was a great lady. She was a tough lady. She worked really hard her whole entire life, and she put up with my father, my grandfather, and my grandfather was a great guy. He was a great guy. And I'm going to talk mostly about him, but he was tough. He was a tough guy. He broke his nose so many times he could take his nose and push it flat against his face. And he was the type of guy that would, when he broke his finger, he'd set it himself. And so he was really, really tough. He was extremely tough. And he was outspoken. He was not a shy man. Whatever came to his mind, he would say. And I told the guys at the elders this, like, He grew up Catholic, and he used to do the collections. So over in Catholic, you get a bucket and you pass it around. So you put your money in, right, for your tithes. Put your money in, and he'd go, and somebody would put money in the tithe,
And he'd look at him and he'd say, I know you got more than that. I know you got more than that. And the Lord deserves more than that. And they would put it in there. That might be why he had a broken nose. Good point. But he was outspoken, but that never deterred him. Never deterred him. He was a tough guy. He was really tough. He was really tough. But anyways, he was, and I had no choice growing up. I spent a lot of time with him. My mother got divorced. I spent a lot of time with my grandparents, my grandmother and grandfather. I spent a lot of time with them. And I had no choice but to respect them and to obey him. I got one whistle. I'd be out playing with my friends, one whistle. He'd whistle with his, and it was loud. But I mean, he'd whistle with his fingers, and I got one whistle. And then I had about 5 minutes to get home. And if I didn't hear the whistle, that meant I was too far away from being. And if I did hear the whistle and I wasn't home at five, then there was a price to pay for that. And it wasn't a physical price. It was an emotional price, a disappointed price. He was disappointed in me. I was supposed to be there in 5 minutes. And he was disappointed if I wasn't. And then sometimes I'd have to learn things, learn different lessons. So when there was a day he was moving, he had like a big pile of sand, and we had to fill in this space with sand. And I was playing with my friends, and he goes, Reg. Well, first he whistled. Then I ran home. I ran to the camp, and he says, we got a big pile of sand that we got to move. We got to move this sand. And I said, but Pepe, I'm playing. I'm having fun. My friends are waiting for me. Yeah, but we got to move this sand. But I really want to go play with him. And I begged him. And he said, you know what? Go ahead. Go play. And so I did. I went and played. And I had a great time. It was awesome. It was awesome. So then we come home for supper. Here comes the whistle. Supper's ready. And here comes Reggie. I sit at the table. Pepe, it's a beautiful day. It'd be a great night. Can we go warm out fishing? Reggie, I'm a little tired. I had to move that sand. You didn't help me. We can't go warm out fishing. There's a consequence. A lesson. And that's what God does, right? That's what God does. He gives us lessons. Lessons. There was a fear. There was a reverence. But he wasn't doing that to be mean to me. It wasn't because he didn't like me. He was teaching me. And that's what the fear of the Lord does. Is it teaches us. And if you don't have that fear, you're missing out on lessons. And you're going to have consequences. You're not going to go warm out fishing. Or maybe something else. Maybe God has a blessing for you, but you're blowing them off right now. You're saying, not right now. I got to go play with my friends. I want to watch TV. You know, I got this good book. I like it. Maybe I want to read the book. Maybe God's telling you, get up, go do something. And you're like, I'm tired. I'm going to take a nap. And then you're missing. You're missing out. He demanded respect, and even though I was fearful of him, there was an incredible love for him. He was very tough, but at the same time, very sensitive. We'd have family gatherings. Every time we'd leave, he'd cry. This big, tough guy, who I have a ring of his wedding ring, and it fits on my thumb, and it's still too big. He had these big, monstrous hands. And he would cry. And you were expected to give him a hug every time you left. and he worked with flowers. He worked on cars doing body work, but he also loved flowers. That's how I picture God. He's like that, right? He's tough, and he's loving. He's teaching, right? But he's sensitive. And that's how God is. But we can't discount one or the other. They're together. He's one being.
So we got to look at some scripture, right? To see, what does he say about fear of the Lord? And in this case, what we're going to be talking about is what's the benefit of fearing the Lord? So let's do that. Luke 12, 44. Dear friends, don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot do any more to you after that. So that means, like, once they kill you, that's it. Like, you're done, right? So they can't do anything worse to you after that, right? That's the most they can do. And I'm up in heaven, so who cares, right? But I tell you whom to fear. Fear God, who has the power to kill you and then throw you into hell. Yes, he's the one to fear. He's the one that determines our fate.
What's the scripture
that you have? Let's see. Luke 12:44. No? Okay. Well, anyways, whatever scripture it is, it's a good one. That's right. That happens. And I write it down like this because I just flip it through the book. I have all these notes and I fly out everywhere. So, what is it? 12:5. There you go. 12:5. So let's read it again. Dear friends, don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot do any more to you after that. But I'll tell you whom to fear. Fear God, who has the power to kill you and throw you into hell. Yes, he's the one to fear. That's power. That's power. Right? That's power. That should make everybody nervous. There should be some trembling going on. There should be some trembling going on. Yes, I'm saved. I'm saved. But ultimately, he's the one. So I want to make sure I'm saved, right? I don't want to be just saying I'm saved. I want to make sure I'm saved. I want the Holy Spirit embedded in me. Then I know I'm saved. For sure, right? Hopefully this is right. Proverbs 1:7. Let's try this one. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and discipline. So fear of the Lord teaches us knowledge, right? Wisdom. How does that happen? Anybody have any ideas on that? Like, how do you get wise if you're fearing the Lord? Any thoughts? Where's the microphone? Do we have a microphone? Where's the... Somebody have the microphone? You have the microphone? Who has a thought on that? Why? How do you get wise from fear?
A lot by his word, by the words that the Bible speaks about. By his word.
By his word. Yeah. So if you have fear of the Lord, you're going to read this book, right? And you're going to get smarter. You're going to get wiser to his ways. Who else has a thought? Joe?
We need the fear of the Lord due to the fact that through the knowledge we have. And if we don't use the knowledge the way God intended, That's something to fear.
Okay, all right. So now that you got knowledge, you need to use that knowledge, right? Anybody else? Any other thoughts? Any other thoughts?
I know in Strong's that when you look at fear, it doesn't necessarily mean fear internally, it means respect.
Respect, right. And how does that teach you, how does that make you wiser, Keith, do you think?
Respecting, it's just like respecting your parents when you're growing up.
Correct, right. So if you respect...
Respecting them.
Yeah. So if you respect the people who are teaching you, you're going to abide by what they're telling you, right? And if he's telling you stuff, you're getting wiser by that moment, right? Sometimes we read these scriptures and we read that. It's like, great, I get wise. But the question is, how? How do I get wise? Right? Kathy? Yeah?
This is a scripture that I always started when I was homeschooling Lizzie. This is the very first scripture we studied every year, and that was Proverbs 2. Except I changed it to every young woman instead of every young man. Mm-hmm. He listens to me and obeys my instructions, so that's hearing and obeying, will be given wisdom and good sense. And that's what we wanted primarily, because wisdom is what is at the beginning. You know, you fear the Lord, you have wisdom, and that's how you can live your life, knowing that you've got the wisdom of God with you, and you're here to obey his instructions.
Right. Hearing and obeying, huge, right? That's how it happens, right? So if you fear the Lord, you're going to hear and obey a lot more.
Just to add to that, when you're hearing, you're reading the word, or you hear a message, or you see something happening to somebody else, you consider the outcomes.
Yes.
And so what you're doing then is you're being circumspect.
Yeah.
You're looking at the whole picture. You're looking at all the different aspects of something, and that's where you gain wisdom, because wisdom is being circumspect, considering all the things that are involved in a particular situation. You're going to come out with a better decision, a better choice.
Right. A better choice because of that. So you're going to be wiser because of that. But also, we got to be listening to God, right? So you're saying, like, we're circumspect, looking at the whole picture, but really, hopefully, you're listening to God in that circumspect.
That's right.
Much more, right? Why? Because you fear the Lord.
Yes.
Right?
I think, like he said, if you're the Lord, respect and awe. And I know growing up with my parents, it wasn't fear of punishment, it was fear of disappointment.
Disappointment.
That was my biggest fear.
That's exactly what I was thinking, right? So you don't want to disappoint him, right? You don't want to disappoint your parents, you don't want to disappoint God. And that's kind of like when I was talking about my grandfather, I didn't want to disappoint him. I felt terrible, right?
Before becoming a Christian, my pride told me I already knew what was best for me.
Yeah,
of course. So I made my own decisions based off what I thought was best for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so the beginning of wisdom is that I have to humble myself to realize I don't know how to run my own life.
Yeah.
I don't know what is wise. I don't know what's good for me or anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the beginning of it, is that I have to realize I don't know very much at all.
Right. Ground zero.
Right.
Clean slate.
I have no business running my
clueless.
Right.
I am clueless. And I thought I knew everything, but I am clueless.
Yeah.
There's an old saying that the older we get, the smarter our father gets. and that can be in the physical realm. It can also be in the spiritual realm.
And a lot of the smartness, or whatever you want to call it, is based on experience.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't learn from your experiences and grow from them,
mm-hmm.
then they're wasted. Yeah. But so the older I'm getting, the smarter he is getting, yeah. for sure.
And I know a lot of smart people who aren't very wise. There is a difference. There is a difference.
I think if we have a healthy fear of the Lord, that we're not going to be as susceptible to peer pressure.
Correct.
As well.
Right.
And though the whole crowd may go one way, if we know we're disappointing God, if we really fear God, we'll say no. I'm not.
That's right. Yeah, we're gonna peer pressure, big one. And you're wise if you avoid the peer pressure, right? Yeah. And there's plenty of that going on right now, right? So Proverbs has all kinds of fear of the Lord stuff in it. If you wanna check it out. But we're gonna go through a couple more. Let's do a couple more just for fun, right? Proverbs 10:27. Fear of the Lord lengthens one's life, and then the years of the wicked are cut short. Fear of the Lord lengthens one's life. How does that happen? These are thoughts that you should be saying to yourself. How does that happen? Why does that happen? Because you're making better decisions, right? You're making better decisions, right? You're making better decisions. And you say, Reggie, you just told me my days are numbered, right? How does that happen? Because he already knows what you're going to be deciding. Now think about that one. Now think about that one, right? He knows whether you're going to listen to this message and take it to heart or not and make a change in your life. He knows that. So he also knows that if you do that, your life will be longer. And so your destined day has already been determined because of that, based off of him knowing how we're going to do things.
Yeah.
Crazy, right?
Yeah.
That's how powerful of a God we serve.
Yeah.
That's how powerful. Time means nothing to him.
Right.
It's irrelevant. Time is only for us.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean anything to him. He sees it all. Beginning and end. How? I don't know. I don't know. My mind wants to answer that. But I don't have an answer. That's a mystery. When I talk about mysteries of God, that's a mystery. Right? We don't have all the answers. Proverbs 19:23. The fear of the Lord leads to life. Again. Then one rests content, untouchable by trouble. Which is really why I put that in there. Untouchable by trouble. You want to avoid trouble in your life? Fear the Lord. You're going to make better decisions. You're going to be wiser. That's going to avoid trouble. Listen to him. Chris.
That's okay. I don't need the mic.
No, you do, because Zoom people need to hear.
No, I was going to raise my hand to two verses back there. It might be the humans. I was going to say, with this, with wisdom comes discernment.
Discernment, right.
Guides us in our decisions.
Correct.
Then you just said our decision. Then you said our decision again, and I just smiled.
So, see?
There you go, Rich.
Confirmation.
There you
go. Confirmation, right? Avoid untouched by trouble. I'd like to be untouched by trouble. I don't want to hear... I don't have more trouble than I need. I already got plenty of trouble. I don't need more. Job 28:28. And this is what he says to all humanity. That's what he says. Did you get that? Did you get that? This is what he says. Bling! There you go. This is what he says. The fear of the Lord is true wisdom. To forsake evil is real understanding. Again, going back to that same type of thing, right? You want understanding? You got to fear the Lord. Isaiah 33:6. He will be the sure foundation for your times, a rich store of salvation and wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. Would you like that treasure? A rich store of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge? Fear of the Lord. Fear the Lord. There's benefit, right? He isn't doing this to slap us down. He isn't doing it because he's a mean God. He's doing it because he's trying to teach us. He's trying to teach us. Exodus 20:20. Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. God has come to test you, so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning." So he's going to test us, right? And the fear of God should help us to avoid sin. If you're not fearing God and you don't really believe that God is out there, then you're going to sin much easier. And that's what's going on in the world right now. As the world retracts from God, and they have no fear of the Lord, and they have no belief in God, period, then what's the consequence of sinning? Nothing in their head. Nothing in their head. So they can do whatever they want until they die. Until they die. Then, that's when it comes. That's when I'm doomed comes. I'm doomed. Psalm 128:1. Praise the Lord. We love that. Praise the Lord. Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find great delight in his commands. So he's telling us, these commands are built for you. The reason I put these commands out there is for your benefit. So then delight in them. Know that it's going to avoid problems for you. Right? Delight in them. Boy, we love delighting in rules and regulations, don't we? No. No, we don't. Especially us northern eastern people who like to think on our own terms. Which may be good in the world, but not good towards God. Because I am fearful of that. He is a jealous, all-consuming God who wants nothing but the best for you and me. But he also knows we're weak, selfish, and make poor decisions. And we've done plenty of that, haven't we? Sometimes, in order to get our attention, he allows us to go through some tough situations in our lives. Right? He's going to test us. He's going to test us. And that is to put us back on track, hopefully. If we want to learn, if we want to get back in the right mode. Satan really doesn't have any power over us, right? He really doesn't. He doesn't have any power over us unless it be granted to us, like in the book of Job, granted to him, right? Satan cannot doom you unless if God gives him that power. Right? And then we can see what happens then. So if we lose God, look at the book of Job and see what happens. Right? And Job was a faithful person. And he still got withdrawn. But that's the power of God. He's sovereign. He can do whatever he wants. That should make us nervous knowing this. And we don't want to really think about that. But it happened. And he can do what he wants. He can do what he wants. That should make you a little nervous. But that's for a benefit for yourself. Knowing that. You can look at that and say, wow, that's terrible. You can say that all you want. I don't know how many times I hear, how can God do that? How can God do that? And he can do anything he wants. What we think is terrible, he's using for good. And we don't even understand it. There's a lot that we have to discuss about fear. And that's going to be coming out in the future. But those are the messages of today. Messages of today. Don't be fearful of the world. But be fearful of God. Don't be fearful of people. Be fearful of God. Live. Live. Don't let Satan pull you away from living. Don't let him suck things away from you. As we close, we're going to remember this. Hebrews 12:28. These type of messages are tough to bring forth sometimes. Because you don't know how people are going to take it. You know? And I don't want, you know, one of the biggest reasons that people don't want to talk about the fear of the Lord is because they're going to discourage people from coming to church because they're going to be scared of God. And we don't want them scared of God, right? And we should be scared of God, but we should have a reverence for him, a fear of him that allows us to understand that there's a benefit for that. At the same time, realizing like he is so powerful that we can't even wrap our heads around it. Right. And he's going to do what he feels is best for the whole situation, not just Reggie's life. The whole situation. Yeah. Hebrews 12:28. Since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful and please God by worshiping him with holy fear and awe. Right? We're receiving a kingdom that's unshakable. It's going to happen. You can't, there's nothing that's going to get taken away from you. We were in an elders meeting and I sat in the back with my back to the window and Joe said to me, why are you sitting there? You could get shot.
Oh my God.
And I said, yeah, you did.
It was Steve.
Oh, Steve said it. Okay. Steve said it. And I said, it is something Joe would say, right? That's what I said. But he did. Okay, I'll get my facts right here, right? It was Steve. And I said, you know what? I don't care. I don't care. I'm not going to live my life not sitting with my back to the window worrying about that when I know where I'm going. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to live in fear no more. Right? That's what this is about. Right? We're going to live. And we're going to try to live the way God wants us to live. And we're going to fail. But you know what? He is merciful. And he does love us. And we're going to get back up, like Malcolm said a million times. And get up how many times? Right? Over and over and over again. Our nose are bloody. And we're going to get back up. And that's how we're going to deal with this. And we're going to keep battling. And Satan is not going to rule our lives. And that's what we're going to say. So dear God, we just love you and thank you. We do fear you. We fear you because we know you want our best interests. We respect you. We don't want to disappoint you. We do oftentimes. But we don't want to take that for granted. We want to dig deeper into your ways. We want to understand your truths. We don't want to be scared to hear tough things. And we want to learn how to battle
because we know we need to be preparing for what's coming ahead. And you're preparing us each day, each message, each song we sing, every time we pray. You're guiding us. It's whether we listen to you or not, and we need to be listening to you. We just love you and thank you. In your name, amen.
Recording stopped.
Done.